Same call Israel. So let's learn a little bit of the Tomer Devorah. If you really wanted, you could find it. It's online in Sepharia, Hebrew English, online for free. It's a good thing to know. The Tomer Devorah was written by the Ramak of Moshe Cordovero, who is one of the geniuses of Kabbalah. He has his own Kabbalistic system, different than the Arizal. He lived in Tzvat, and he wrote this amazing Sefer, where we're learning from the attributes that the prophet Micha describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. We learn a little bit from a Kabbalistic perspective, and when we try to bring it into our own lives. Sounds good?
Can we do a fun fact?
Yeah.
You know the day that Arizal arrived in Tzfat for the first time?
That was the day the Ramak passed away? That's right. So one side that comes in, another side that goes out. Come on. Ha'adam ra'ui shidameh lekoino. A person is meant to be connected to his creator. This is actually last week's parsha, the mitzvah of Meshi Odea, which means to be like Hashem. It says, Halachta b'derachav, you should go and be like God. We don't really know what God's like, but in the way that Hashem describes himself, he describes in that way so that we can be a little bit like him. Okay? Josh, if it's possible to do that anywhere but my direction.
Unlike God, I do not control the wind, but
okay.
I will do my best.
Or just because it very much bothers me.
Not as much as Daniel, though.
Correct. And when we do that, we actually are like the Tzura Elyon, like Hashem. We're in the Tzelem Elokim, and when we learn Torah, we're like Hashem. Tzelem Udmut, the form of God and the Tzelem of Hashem. She'ilu yudum abegruf avloy bulat areu machziva Tzura v'yomer alav Tzura now masikurim. For if we would be similar in our body, but not in our actions. So basically, we'd say, wow, you have a nice bud, but we don't have, but our actions are disgusting. So we want our actions to parallel the way that God acts. Not to physically look like God, but our actions to be like the way that God acts in the Torah. Okay, now, to be honest, it's not that we just look at the whole Torah and say, well, God smites people, okay? We could also smite people, you know? No, it's not like that. We specifically are guided by Chazal. And the ways which Chazal tell us that God acted in that way and we're supposed to emulate God in that way, that's the way we do it. And the ways that sometimes it's like, that's for God. And you just hold your horses. That's for you. That's not for you, human folk. Okay? So, so you want to be like the ways of the throne of God, of the crown of God. I'm sorry, we're giving back Hashem's crown on Rosh Hashanah. We're crowning God. I'm not a Kabbalist. I'm not going to tell you that I completely understand what that means, but we're putting the crown on God Kabbalistically. And there's the 13 midos of rachamim, the 13 ways which God describes Himself. Those are the 13 points of the crown. And these are all alluded to in the pasuk in Micha. Miel chamocha nose avon va'over al pesha l'shirit nachlato lo yichzid la'rapo hi chafetz chesedhu. Who is like you, God, who bears sin and looks away from sin for the remnants of His people? He doesn't strengthen forever His anger because He is desiring chesed. Yashuv yirachmenu yichbosh amanotenu v'tachshluch bimtzotam bimtzulot yam kol chalotam. He will return with His mercy, overcome His sins, and throw into the water all of His sins. Titan emet liyakov chesed laavram asher nishvat avotenu mimei kedem. We will give truth to Jacob, kindness to Abraham, as he has sworn to his fathers from days of yonder. So that is the verse where God describes Himself in Micha. And this entire book is based on these ways which God describes Himself. Okay, we're not going to go through all of them, obviously, today. We're just going to start and show how the Tomer Devorah develops these different ways of understanding Hashem. An open question, which I'm not going to answer, is if I would have guessed, where would be the place to start when we're talking about God's, how He describes His mercy? Where would I have guessed we should derive it from? Where should we read, write the book based on what?
Chesed.
chesed?
Chesed, no, for sure chesed. But I'm saying, when does God describe his attributes of mercy that I would assume that would be the place?
In Shemot.
In Shemot, during the Ten Commandments. When, after, that's right. In Shemot, there are two Ten Commandments. So this is the first time when God describes himself as a zealous God, Kelkana, and that doesn't work out so well. And then the Jewish people sin, and God is going to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe prays. He argues with God. He convinces Hashem to make a new covenant. He goes up from 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he brings out a new covenant, and that new covenant is called the 13 Midos of Rachem. Hashem, Hashem, Kavrachim, Chanun, Erech, Baim, Rav, Chesed, Yem, Nosei, Chesed, Alevim, Nosei, Havam, Mepesh, Vechat, Menakeh. Right. Okay, so those are 13 attributes of mercy in the Torah, which I would have assumed if I were writing a book, I would base it on those 13 midos. Yet, surprisingly enough, the Tomer Devorah doesn't base it on that. He bases it on this Pasuk in Micha. Maybe we can write a new book based on the 13. It is strange, right? Okay, so it's food for thought. If you want, I can send you a little bit of a shiur afterwards as to why that is. But in the meantime, we're just going to trust the Ramak, and we're going to try to learn from his understanding of the midos we're supposed to emulate of a Kadosh Baruch. But you're right, Josh. He's going to start with chesed. In both lists,
got to start
with chesed. So that's always weird, especially this is a chesed chabura. So it really wouldn't make much sense to start with gvura. That would be the gvura chabura. But no, we're the chesed chabura.
You're not a gvura kind of guy. I mean, no offense.
I would.
You've got gvura in you, but
I would agree with you.
You're more of an Avraham than a Yitzchak.
I would agree. I'm more of a chesed guy. True. Bezrat Hashem. Imken. So we want to understand these 13 midos. And now we're going to get into it to understand these 13 traits. Okay, so we're going to do maybe two, maybe three of the traits of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we are meant to emulate and think about during these days of El. Sounds fun? Exciting? Open up your hearts. Kavalt, kavalt. These are very, very sweet words and deep words. So the first trait we talk about God is that he is very humble and patient and tolerant. Okay? Elbon. More than we could ever understand is that God is very, very patient. First off, we have to understand that God knows everything. Everything that's going through your mind right now, that's going through my mind, every time we had that extra cup of wine, every time we forgot to say Asher Yatzar, everything, man, everything he knows what's going on. No suffix. And at the same time, this is something stressed by Rav Chaim Belozhin and Nefesh HaChaim, there's not a moment, especially right now, when God is not breathing existence into you and me and everyone. We're all currently being breathed into existence by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's mamish every breath. He's breathing us into existence. We would not be here if not for Hashem deciding right now that you have to be in the world and that I have to be in the world. Okay? So we got those 2 points. He knows everything and yet he's giving us life. We good so far? So it turns out there's never a moment in life when you were not sinning, when at that exact moment God was not giving you life. On the one hand, you're spitting in God's face. On the other hand, he's holding up your hand. It's like he's like your mom is going off a cliff and he's holding your hand and you're spitting in his face and he's still holding your hand to make sure that you don't die. He's mamish continuously generating you and me and all of us. You seem a little scared. I'm scaring you. Good. I think that's the point. Kavod. Okay.
Scaring you through
chesed. Kavod. With a lot of love. And despite that fact that your mom is spitting in his face, he's still kavod. He's still giving you life. He's still giving you life. Wow. Mamish. Crazy. Have any of you guys ever experienced a moment like that where someone was like mamish sinning against you and you still kind of acted with chesed with and like love towards them?
I've got kids.
I was going to say, if you have kids or a wife, then you've whatever, you've definitely experienced this. When you're in a bris, when you're in a relationship with someone in a deep type of way, like children, so then you for sure have experienced that. For sure, I've experienced that a few times in my life, you know.
The other interesting thing is like, you know, it's like, all right, it's Friday afternoon, we got to get ready for Shabbat. Clean up your room so I can give you ice cream. I want to give you ice cream. Just clean up your room, which you have to do anyway, so I can give you ice cream. And like, no. And that's Hashem, like, every minute of every day. Like, oh, like, I just want to give you things. Like, stop messing it up.
Right, exactly.
Hamish.
Or, you know, sometimes I think of it like, sometimes someone's sick. And they're sick physically, they're also sick emotionally. And like, they need your help. But like, they're being such a jerk because they're sick, and like, not always is everyone on their game when they're sick. So they might be having a temper tantrum, but like, your job is just to like kind of suck it up and give them a lot of love, and afterwards you'll like, you know,
yes, grandma, I'm sorry,
right,
like, here's your dinner.
Right, exactly. So like, at that moment, if you do that act of like giving despite the fact that they're not treating you so lovingly, you are mamish emulating a Kaddish Baruch. Your mom is living in a world of a Kaddish Baruch. You know? Gevalt. I get good practice at these meals sometimes. Sometimes I'm like giving someone food and time, and like, your mom is being a jerk to me. And like, I have to remember this Tomer Devorah and be like, this is my test. It's easy to be nice to the people who are sweet and loving and kind and appreciative, right?
Like me.
Like you guys, exactly. The question comes, like, when it's not so, when they're not being so, you know, fabulous, do we still act with love and kindness to the best of our ability? Yeah, of course, the Kaddish Baruch Hu knows how to sometimes do gvura too. Sometimes Hashem says, we've had enough. You know, if you read Tanakh, you know, that happens once in a while. So it's not all gvura, chesed, but for the most part, literally 99.9% of our lives is an act of chesed, and He's giving us life despite our sins and our mistakes. Okay? Gevalt, let's keep going. Don't tell me God doesn't have to do us that. At any moment, God could snap his fingers and take that guy out of existence. He can mamas decide right at that moment that that's it.
The piano falls off the building.
Yes, and you fall. Just like Bugs Bunny, right? Tom and Jerry. It could end at any moment if he so chose. But if the fact that you're alive right now means that Hashem is willing you into existence. Hashem wants you to be alive. He could literally say, since you're sitting next to me, why should I let you exist? I'm going to let go, so to speak. But no, he's patient, he's tolerant, that's the word I was looking for. And he's giving us love. This is mamish patience more than what we could ever imagine. And that's what we call, why God is called a tolerant king. Okay, he's a king who's tolerant. And that's when we say God, who is like you? By the way, we say this verse in Tashlich. We throw away our sins. We recite this verse, Mi Al Kamocha, and we think about this God, who is like God, to be tolerant. Ata al bal chesed emitiv al bal koach lenakem lasov et shalcha im kozeh atasovel menalav ad yeshuv betshuva. You God are so kind, and you could vengeance us and said, you wait for us to do tshuva. You, as you say, okay, it'll make me take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but eventually you're gonna mamish do tshuva, and he's waiting for that moment. He's waiting for that moment. And that's what we have to do. We have to be more tolerant, more kind, more patient. And when we are patient and tolerant, then we will receive that from a Kaddish Baruch Hu on a greater level. And that you can look at that as an opportunity. When someone's being a jerk to us, and we still act with loving kindness and patience, so then God has more koach, so to speak, to give us more patience and more love. Good? We good? Sounds good? Okay, beautiful.
It's big Kiddush. We say it, but it's...
Yeah, it's a huge Kiddush. It's a huge Kiddush. My, you guys stop right there and like just...
You get treated the same way you treat others.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a huge motivation to like, you know... I'll give you a mic on a related note. So, because on Shabbos, we're learning that if a maisa comes into your head, Shlomo used to say you should tell it over. It's a sign from Hashem that if the story came to your head, that's from Hashem.
The what?
If a story comes into your head, that's a story that you're supposed to give over. Shlomo used to have that teaching.
I don't understand.
If I'm teaching and a story comes into my head,
oh, okay.
So that's the story that I'm supposed to give over. So,
floor is yours, Saturday.
There's a big teaching. That when you feel like you're entitled to something, and someone embarrassed you, and someone hurt you, and you were embarrassed, and at that moment you don't do what's natural for you and get revenge, and you're embarrassed, that's a time for bracha to come to your life. Dafka at that moment when someone embarrasses you, but you don't like act with anger. So that's the moment when you have the koch to open up the gates and like daven for whoever you want. Daven for anything. So there was there were two brothers, and one of them, they were both amazing shofar blowers. And they weren't sure who was going to be the shofar blower in that town. So what they would do is one year one of them would blow the shofar and the other year the other one would blow the shofar. So one year, this guy is an amazing shofar blower. He gets up there. Let's call him Jimmy. Jimmy is blowing the shofar. And Jimmy the Jew has the most embarrassing moment of his life. And Imamish nothing comes out. And the entire shul is just like looking at him and like nothing's coming out. And they're all just like looking around for like 3 minutes. Finally, they're all like, what do we do? And they give it to his brother. And his brother gets up there and he blows the shofar.
Wait. What's the brother's name?
Johnny.
Okay.
Johnny the Johnny. And Johnny...
There's no J's in Hebrew. These are bad names.
What about Johnny?
It's really Yonatan, but you know.
It is what it is. All names have been altered for the sake of the privacy of the individuals involved. In any case, Johnny blows it like amazing. So, that's the end of the story, but not. So, a few days pass. And Jimmy and Johnny hadn't had a chance to talk for a while. And Jimmy goes over to Johnny and says, Johnny, let me ask you a question. Do you think I'm mad at you? You know, I was so embarrassed. You came and stepped in. You blew the shofar so beautifully. Couldn't you have at least, you know, hesitated a little bit? Couldn't you have at least given like a little crack or something? And he says, truth is, yeah. I've been avoiding talking to you. It's been a little awkward, you know? And Jimmy says to him, you know what I did at that moment when I felt so embarrassed? I thought of you. And I thought of the fact that you have two children who are looking for a shidduch, who haven't been able to find their shidduch, and I put all of my koichos into davening for your children right at that moment. Because I knew at that moment that I was embarrassed from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's an extreme moment of like being mavir al midotav, instead of being like overcoming my natural inclination to be angry and embarrassed and vengeful, and instead channeling that energy to open up the gates and daven for your children. And so it was that year both of his children got engaged. So that was one story that I've heard recently on that note. And there was one more story that I have to say. So there's a woman who is extremely angry at her friend. Her friend...
That's never happened.
No, it mamish happens a lot. What happened?
I'll suspend disbelief.
Yes, it's mamish a true story. And let's call her Rifki. A little bit more believable than Johnny and Jim. And Rifki actually got the job for Rachel.
Whoa.
And Rachel was at... Rifki went one day out of work early to like check on her business. And Rifki was asked by the boss, where's Rachel? And Rifki told the truth. She went to check on her... And Rachel got fired. So, for years, Rifki would not speak to Rachel. She was so angry. How I got you the job and you got me fired. You couldn't have covered for me. And she had nothing. She would never speak. Until one day they're on the bus together. And they see each other. And, you know, Rivki is hanging out with her friend, and her friend sees Rachel, and he says, oh, hey, what's up, Rachel? And Rivki's like, cold shoulder. And she's like, what's up? Why don't you want to talk to her? And she tells him the story about how she wouldn't stick up with her. And Rachel says, listen, I know you want to be angry right now, and I know that's all you want to feel, but listen, it's a similar story. I don't remember exactly. It might have been daughters who needed a shidduch, and it might have been parents who needed a refuah shalom. I don't remember exactly the details. I think it was shidduch.
I need some tefillah.
I need a big tefillah. Do me a favor. Overcome what's natural for you, and daven, and forgive her right now. Forgive her right now. Not for you, for me, for my children. And that she couldn't resist. And she thought about her own daughters who really needed Yeshua and needed a salvation. And she forgave her at that moment, and they made up. And so it was, again, always a good, happy ending in these stories. Mamash, the Yeshua's happened, the Shidduch's happened that year. Gevalt. The moral of the story is that all of these stories, from these inspirational stories, always have happy endings. Stop, that's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is that if you need a little extra motivation to be a tzaddik, and we all do sometimes, let's be honest, think about the bracha that's going to flow into your life by being a Baal Chesed, by overcoming your natural inclination, and being a more tolerant, giving person, just like by emulating a Kaddish Baruch. Sounds good? Beautiful. All right, you know what? Let's stop here for the Chesed, and let's already take a moment. We can stop the recording. And just let's ask ourselves, how can we manifest this midah of chesed, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into our own personal lives in a real way, in a real type of way? What's a way which we can bring this Torah into our mitzvahs?